Actually, I was a bit worried before I received the vaccine, but I feel good and I'm waiting for the next dose.
India boosts its vaccination effort. It's Tuesday, February 16th. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. You'll find us online at VOA Asia Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, getting enough vaccine distributed proves difficult. Australia offers vaccine proof. Mars has visitors. It's all on today's VOA Asia. India's nationwide vaccination drive against COVID-19 is picking up speed after encountering vaccine hesitancy in a country where the pandemic has waned. Anjana Pasricha visited an inoculation center in a New Delhi hospital to see the hurdles and the progress in India's drive, which was billed as the world's largest.
A sense of apprehension, then a sense of relief, as these health workers at Indraprastha Apollo Hospital in New Delhi received their first vaccine shot against COVID-19.
I heard from so many people that there is lots of side effects, but actually I was a bit worried before I received the vaccine, but I feel good and I'm waiting for the next dose.
I feel very safe because I worked for a long time in a COVID ward. Even if something has happened to me, I will be all right with this vaccine.
After the inoculation, the health workers click photos at a selfie point. Such initiatives are part of a massive drive by officials to persuade people to take the shot in a country battling to overcome vaccine hesitancy. After India rolled out its nationwide vaccination program a month ago, initial reports about possible side effects of vaccines raised doubts among some, even health workers. To ease such worries, doctors are stepping forward to get inoculated.
People were a bit scared, a lot of questions. We kept on answering their questions. And then when they saw that vaccine is quite safe, this helped us in building the confidence in vaccine.
The pace is picking up. Daily numbers of inoculations at this center have increased threefold. That is not the case in some other vaccination centers. The problem is a decreased sense of urgency about getting inoculated as India's case numbers dip dramatically. Anjana Pasricha for VOA News, New Delhi.
Follow more on this story and all you hear on VOA Asia on our Twitter stream at VOA Asia, also on Facebook and the voanews.com website. These are among some of the top Asia headlines you'll find right now on voanews.com. Myanmar military leaders extend detention of Suu Kyi. First batch of vaccines arrive in New Zealand as Auckland shuts down. Hotel quarantine under scrutiny as Australian state races to contain COVID-19 outbreak. Targeted killing of journalists, activists spike after Afghan peace talks begin, according to the United Nations. Historic ongoing search fails to find climbers missing on Pakistan's K2 mountain. Expanded coverage of these stories and much more can be found daily at Facebook at VOA Asia, as well as our website, voanews.com. VOA Asia continues. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Health experts say allocating and delivering adequate supplies of COVID-19 vaccines to the developing world will continue to be a challenge. They add that collective and cooperative solutions will be needed, and failing to provide them will imperil human health worldwide. We have more with VOA's Mariama Diallo.
The global economy stands to lose as much as $9 trillion U.S. dollars if developing countries do not get adequate access to COVID-19 vaccines, says Gavi Alliance's Anuradha Gupta. In a video discussion organized by the Center for Strategic and International Studies, Gupta argues it's in the interest of advanced economies to invest in vaccine equity.
The time is of the essence. Any delay would mean prolonging the pandemic with debilitating consequences for the whole world, more Transmission means more variants, more adaptations of vaccines, potentially more boosters, more need for funding, more time for economic recovery, and meanwhile, more poverty, more hunger, more deaths.
Wealthy countries have already secured millions of vaccines and have started inoculating their populations, while many poorer countries have been struggling to get the vaccines. COVAX is one of the pillars of the Access to COVID-19 Tools Accelerator, launched last year by the World Health Organization and its partners to make sure that countries are not left behind. And while Act A has raised money, it faces a big funding gap, says Norway's Jon Arne Rodingen.
We need in total $27 billion to fund this program for 2021. That's a huge amount. But when we know that the same countries have invested $12 trillion in economic stimulus packages, which is really important for our economies, if you do the calculations, these around $30 billion is actually just a quarter of a percent of that total economic policy stimuli.
The United States has been an Act A participant since Tuesday. It has pledged $4 billion and is in discussion to provide further support. Jeremy Knondike, USAID's senior advisor.
It's very important to us as well that as we are going from sort of, you know, no commitment to COVAX to a very large commitment to COVAX, that we are also engaging with other donor countries to kind of use that funding to increase everyone's level of ambition. We often say no one is safe until everyone is safe. And that's more than just a slogan. It really needs to be the centerpiece of our policy on the pandemic.
Something echoed by Duke University's Krishna Udayakumar.
Even countries that get to herd immunity with vaccination are not really safe if everybody else in the world is also not vaccinated to reach herd immunity.
Beyond funding, preparation is also key, says the World Bank's Mohammed Ali Pattaye.
You don't start preparing for vaccines when the vaccines are at the airport. So things like having the policies in place, dealing, making sure that the allocation criteria are fair and equitable, the quality and infrastructure, the logistics, the community engagement, the regulatory framework, all of those elements before the vaccines come. So we've deployed a lot of effort together with the partners.
Mariama Diallo, VOA News, Washington.
In Thailand, the government defended its decision not to join the WHO-sponsored coronavirus vaccine program, saying that to do so would risk the country paying more for the shots and facing uncertainty about delivery times. The government has been criticized by opposition politicians and protesters for lacking transparency and being too slow in procuring vaccines. While the country of 66 million people has had low numbers of cases and deaths, it is dealing with a second wave of infections. Frontline health workers are to begin receiving 2 million imported Chinese Sinovac shots within a month, but mass vaccinations for the general population are not due to begin until locally produced AstraZeneca doses are ready in June. In all, 190 countries have joined COVAX, which aims to ensure equitable access to vaccines during the pandemic. Thailand so far has not received or produced any vaccines, even as many of its neighbors have started inoculations. This news from VOA Asia. Japan's meteorological agency said Saturday's 7.3 magnitude earthquake off Japan's Fukushima was considered an aftershock of the massive tremor nearly a decade ago. That one sparked a tsunami and nuclear meltdown. Prime Minister Yoshihide Suga said no casualties had so far been reported after the late night quake. All the big stories come your way through the day on VOA Asia Twitter and Facebook. This is VOA Asia. We're glad to have you here with us on VOA Asia. The state of Victoria in Australia is in a five-day lockdown, just as the Australian Open tennis tournament continues with no crowds. Australian Open tournament director Craig Tilley says he hopes fans will return for the championship matches.
We hope that we're in a good place, and we hope that this lockdown, like I'm sure the government does, has done its job. And if that's the case, we'll be able to have fans back for the last 4 days of the event.
Australians, meanwhile, will receive a certificate as proof of receiving a coronavirus vaccine when a mass inoculation program begins later this month. Foreign travelers are also likely to need similar confirmation of a COVID-19 shot when Australia's international borders finally reopen. From Sydney, Phil Mercer reports.
Australia is working hard to ensure we all have access to safe, effective and free COVID-19 vaccines.
Australia has spent millions of dollars on public health campaigns, urging the community to have a COVID-19 inoculation. There is hesitation in some quarters because of the speed with which treatments have been developed, but authorities expect the vast majority of Australians to be vaccinated. The elderly and other priority groups will start to receive the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine later this month, while the AstraZeneca drug is expected to be approved by Australian regulators within weeks. Recipients will be given proof that they've received the treatment. Vaccine certificates are expected to allow Australians easier access to nursing homes and hospitals, which have strict disease controls because of the vulnerability of residents and patients. The so-called virus passports could also give Australians permission to cross state internal borders in the event of future lockdowns. Many were closed during the pandemic to curb the spread of the coronavirus, but families were separated and businesses disrupted. The documents could also assist with international travel. The government hopes to offer all Australians a vaccination by the end of October. Government Services Minister Stuart Roberts says the documentation will be easily accessible.
The key thing for Australians to know is they will have a record. They will have a digital and paper certificate. For some 89% of Australians who have a smartphone, they'll be able to access that digital certificate in their smartphone, download it onto their phone as a permanent record. They'll be able to print it out. Every Australian will have a record of their vaccination should they need it.
Opposition politicians are wary of the government's competence to deliver the passports properly. They insist it has a poor track record of delivering COVID-19 support services online. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
The focus for several nations in space is not COVID, but Mars. It's a busy time on the Red Planet, as three Mars missions from three countries are converging on their target. Plus, there's some money to be made on what space drops on our planet. VOA's Arash Arabasadi has the week in space.
The Martian surface has never been so popular for Earthling vessels. In July 2020, the United States, the United Arab Emirates, and China launched missions to the Red Planet. At the time, Earth and Mars had the type of ideal alignment that only happens every 26 months. In the past 7 months, the spacecrafts from Earth traveled almost 500 million kilometers, and Tuesday's arrival to Martian orbit made the UAE the first Arab country to reach Mars on its quest to study the planet. Sarah Alamiri is chair of the UAE Space Agency. She says the years-long journey to build and launch a craft could inspire other Arab nations.
Today you have households of every single age group passionate about space, understanding a lot of science that happens in there. It's opened a broad realm for possibilities for everyone within the UAE and also, and I truly hope, within the Arab world.
A theme echoed by Indian-born opera singer Oscar Castellino's Rise to Mars anthem.
Rise to Mars, men and women, dare to dream, dare to strive.
The UAE's orbiter fired its main engines for 27 minutes to enter the Martian atmosphere in what's being called the Hope Maneuver. It took another 17 minutes for nervous scientists on Earth to learn the good news. The Chinese craft executed a similar slowdown technique to the UAE's Hope maneuver. Tianwen-1 will stay in a so-called parking orbit to survey the surface looking for potential landing sites in May or June. A rover from the United States is scheduled to join the party at Mars next week. Finally this week, auction house Christie's is looking to turn space rocks into cash. It's part of the annual sale of lunar rocks and rare meteorites. Bidding for some items could start at $250, while a lunar rock is estimated to run $350,000. Anyone who wants to bid on something from out of this world has until February 23rd when the auction ends. Arash Arabasadi, VOA News.
That's all the time we have for today's VOA Asia. Thanks for joining our program. Come back again at the same time tomorrow. And in the meantime, you can find us online. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. Just look us up by our name, VOA Asia. We'd also like to thank those who help bring this program to you every day, our managing editor, Diane Gao, and our VOA Asia team, Ira Melman, Doug Bernard, Keith Lane, and Amy Hybels. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a wonderful day ahead. Be safe. Be well.